Twins and Tigers coming up at 4:30 with the lineup card in Motown. Twins beat the Tigers 9-3 right now. Let's go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Hot and windy today, and I'd assume those walleyes have headed for deep water.
Yeah, good call, Steve. Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, it's been a tough one this week. It was hot. Water temperatures are creeping up in the upper 70s, and getting a fish here and there, I wouldn't say it's going crazy. You got to work for them, and I'm finding fish, you know, anywhere from 28 to 45 feet. They're definitely deep. The perch are out deep, and for good reason. You know, they're out in that thermocline area where that warm water hits the cold water, which is usually fairly deep at this time of the year. So you have to be really careful with these fish. You know, when you bring up a fish, you know, walleye, for instance, from 35, 40 feet of water, that fish will probably not survive. So it's probably best to take one or two and then move on and, you know, just kind of leave them alone. It's hard to do that sometimes when you go through a pod of fish deep like that. You just you don't want to do any more damage than necessary. So I'm just telling people, take your one or two and then move on, because you can release them, but those fish are not going to make it. But that's where they are right now, and I think they're going to be there through August and into probably the middle part of September. So that's where the action is, you know, fairly deep water, away from the weeds, out in that, you know, thermocline.
Yeah, you know, beyond walleye, though, Steve, you get into this warmth this time of year. Bass can be a lot of fun, and there are a lot of good bass fisheries in this state.
You know, that's a good point, Steve. You know, the bass fishing in Minnesota is excellent, and I don't care if it's in the metro area, northern Minnesota, western Minnesota, and I hear that from a lot of clients I have that come up from Tennessee and Georgia, and they complain about how their fisheries are just hammered day after day, and they come up here and they just can't believe the bass fishing. And, you know, we sort of take it for granted, and, yep. You know, most of us do not keep bass. We catch them and release them. So that's the one thing about Minnesota. We have a very, very good bass fishery, smallmouth and largemouth. And, you know, this is a good time of the year to make that switch, because those fish are still somewhat shallow along the weed lines, under docks. You can catch them on top water. There's many ways you can catch them. And, you know, it's a good way to switch. Being that the walleyes are kind of slow, you know, move to the bass, and you can have some outstanding days, you know, on largemouth. So we're very blessed to have, you know, some tremendous bass opportunities here in Minnesota.
We have the threat of thunderstorms. That's going to complicate things as well, with fronts kind of moving in and moving out. Could be another tough week, Steve.
Yeah, I did something really dumb yesterday, Steve. You want to hear that?
Why not?
Well, yeah, I've done a lot of dumb things in my many years of fishing, and yesterday, people who, you know, do a lot of fishing and boating will understand this. You have a plug that fits into the back of your boat, you know, for sure. The boat plug, which usually hangs by a piece of wire. Well, I lost that a couple of weeks ago, so I've been using a plug for my live well. So, you know, it's not attached. It's a manual plug. So here I am dropping my boat in yesterday, and I put the plug. I take it out of my front console, and I put it in the hole, and I drop my boat in. Next thing I know, the back end of my boat is starting to take on water. My bilge pump's going on, and my back is sinking. And I'm going, what the heck is going on? So I had to get that boat back on my trailer and winch it on with all that weight of all that water, and got it up on the ramp. I put the plug in my live well hole, not in my drain hole. You know, it can happen, because those two holes are right next to each other, and I was in a hurry, and I put it in the wrong hole, and it was so embarrassing. I'm just so glad nobody was watching me, because that's something you don't live down. I hate to admit it, but stuff happens, you know.
Yeah, and that is certainly a big one, and you probably launched a boat 10,000 times in your life.
Yeah, I've done everything wrong, you know, at least once in my life, but this one I've never done. But, you know, now I just, you know, reattached a new plug and put it on the wire so it sticks out of the drain hole so there's no confusion. But, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, but it's amazing how that boat can take on water so fast, you know, just through that drain hole. I mean, I had a couple hundred pounds of water in there in a minute and a half. It was just amazing. But, yeah, I'm glad I got it done. And, yeah, it's. I'll just add that to my list of stupid pet tricks. How's that?
Yeah. All right, Steve, well, have a good week. We'll do it again next Saturday.
All right. Sounds great, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors each and every Saturday. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday with Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News. He has a great show Sundays between 5 and 6. A lot of great guests, a lot of great information. It is 12 past 4 o'clock. Segway to the Twins and Tigers. Game 2 of the 3-game set coming up from Comerica Park. Twins won 9-3, and we're pleased to be joined by Do Young Park, who covers the club for MLB.com. And Do, good to visit with you. The Twins playing well and got a big win in Game 1 Friday night.
Yeah, they got a big win, and more importantly, they're also getting healthier. That's the important thing as we kind of approach the trade deadline here, is that not only are they beating some of these teams, you know, they took the wheels off of Detroit yesterday and are obviously coming off a really big series win over the Phillies, the best team in baseball at home earlier in the week. But then you got Royce Lewis back yesterday. You got Jose Miranda back today. There's some hope that Carlos Correa might not be too far behind them. That's where they're at right now. They're adding and adding and adding on that side, at least. Obviously, Brock Stewart also back in the bullpen earlier in the week. Things are starting to really come together as they kind of enter a big stretch here, Detroit, and then they head to the Mets, who are kind of a hot team. But then they got two winnable series against the White Sox and the Cubs. And then that matchup with Cleveland in a couple weekends is going to loom pretty large as Cleveland also goes through a pretty tough stretch of schedule themselves. So this feels like it could be a kind of pivotal stretch of games coming up for the Twins. And fortunately for them right now, knock on wood, they're starting to get healthy, and it looks like the lineup, the pitching staff, it's all kind of coming together right now.
Yeah, Derek Falvey, Thad Levine, and company are not going to tip their hand with the deadline looming, but the conventional wisdom is they'd love to add pitching, but the question becomes at what price, and all the contenders want to add pitching. So every year there is tremendous competition for arms that can step in and contribute immediately.
Yeah, and that's always kind of the tough dynamic as we head into trade deadlines with the new wild card format in particular. Because there's now three wild card teams in each league, the threshold to get into the playoffs is so much lower than it ever has been before, excuse me. And what that leads to is you're really on the market is really kind of a lot smaller in terms of the amount of talent that's available from the teams that are very clearly in selling positions, which in turn drives up the cost for a lot of these talents that a lot more of the teams in turn are also looking for. And to compound on that, there are also teams that we thought might be, you know, moving towards selling, the Texas Rangers among them, for example, who looked like they were going to be in a position to sell maybe like a week or two ago, and then the ground moves out from underneath you really quickly in that sense. One bad week from Seattle, one good week from Texas, and now Texas is in a position to not to potentially buy, but certainly maybe stand pat, and definitely doesn't look like they're trying to sell at this point. So those are kind of a lot of the different moving pieces right now. Obviously, like you mentioned, a lot of teams are looking for pitching. The Twins are among them. Now it's a question of where do they line up on those fits, with a smaller selection of sellers than there ever has been before. And then even among there, you got sellers like, you know, the Colorado Rockies, who have been in selling positions in the past and haven't necessarily sold their players. You got a clear seller in the Chicago White Sox, who might be more hesitant to make a deal in division to the Minnesota Twins. A lot of those different factors coming into play that they've obviously got to navigate along with the normal try to find your best fits at the trade deadline as they move forward right now.
Yeah, and yeah, you brought up the Chicago White Sox. The record is astonishing. 27-79 in late July.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's just absolutely hard to fathom how bad they are. 27 wins at the end of July. To give you a little perspective, the next worst win total, Oakland with 43. It just just absolutely amazing. But back to the top of the division in Cleveland. Tip of the cap to the Guardians. At the moment, they have 62 wins. That's tops in the American League.
Yeah, they have 62 wins. That's tops in the American League. They've been playing great. That's the thing all year is that it feels like, and I've heard whispers of this, you know, obviously from within the organization too, from the Twins, is that, you know, that Cleveland's been playing on the margins the whole time, that rotation is increasingly depleted. The bullpen is increasingly overworked. It just felt like for a while, it seems that you're kind of waiting for Cleveland to come to earth. And to their credit, they have not come to earth. They've been riding the margins, and they've been riding the margins well. Now, there's the question, obviously, Cleveland hasn't been an aggressor at trade deadlines past as well, at trade deadlines where it would perhaps behoove them to be a little more aggressive. So that's also an interesting dynamic. I think Kansas City is also looking to add right now as well. The AL Central is a pretty competitive division right now, but Cleveland didn't come out the gate all that well out of the All-Star break. And the Twins are kind of in a position to take advantage of that. The Guardians are playing in Philadelphia right now. Obviously, the Phillies aren't playing great, but they're going through a tougher stretch of schedule, perhaps, than the Twins again. And that kind of culminates in that four-game matchup in 3 days at Target Field over that weekend, a couple weekends from now in early August, that seems like it's going to loom large on the other side of this trade deadline to kind of determine the overall outcome of what the top of this AL Central is going to look like.
Another club that's hanging in there is the Kansas City Royals. They have been in the mix in this division, and now they're 5.5 back, one game behind the Twins in third place in this division, and Kansas City is much improved, and another good story in this division.
They are hanging tough, and let me tell you, that's a really good baseball team, and Bobby Witt Jr., he's locked down to be their face of the franchise for a really long time. He is a really, really good baseball player. He is absolutely otherworldly on fire right now. I think he's honestly catapulted himself, in my mind, to be, if not the favorite, certainly up there in the American League MVP race. You should look at those numbers sometime. It's crazy. They're pitching out of their minds. Some of the flyers they took on guys like Seth Lugo in the offseason to kind of add to that rotation have worked up beautifully. And that team was always going to be interesting. They were always going to be on the upswing. A lot of those savvy offseason moves have paid off, and it's really shaping up for a photo finish. And again, Twins and Royals kind of in one of those tight races that would perhaps have been a lot more intriguing, maybe in playoff races of years past where you're looking at a smaller field. But right now they're both kind of, I wouldn't say comfortably, but they're both in wild card spots with kind of Boston breathing on their necks right now. But that also adds an interesting dynamic of there's three AL Central teams in playoff position right now. Quite a turnaround from the Comedy Central described AL Central divisions of seasons past, perhaps. But that's also, it's kind of the competitive ebbs and flows of where the division has come and gone. And it certainly makes for some really interesting and exciting baseball down the stretch within these divisional matchups for sure.
Yeah, it is tight in the American League Central. A lot of intrigue. The deadline, of course, and a little over 2 months to go in the regular season. Doe, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Looking forward to catching up soon.
Yeah, there he is. Doe Young Park covers the club for MLB.com, does a ton of great work on the beat. Joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, once again, Carlos Correa not quite ready to return, but you'll have Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, and Jose Miranda, 2, 3, and 4 in the lineup behind Joe Ryan today at Comerica, and we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at the scoreboard and a little bit deeper dive on the standings in MLB on this last Saturday in July in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. All right, Twins and Tigers coming up. Game 2 of the 3-game set from Comerica. Twins had a big 9-3 win. Byron Buxton had a big night as they cruise 9-3 behind Pablo Lopez. Joe Ryan on the mound. Sneak peek at the lineup momentarily. Here's a look at the standings on the final Saturday in July. Baltimore leading New York by 2 in the East. They have 61 wins. Cleveland leading Minnesota by 4.5. The Guardians have 62 wins. tops in the American League. Houston now a one-game lead over Seattle. Texas 3.5 back out west. In the East, Philly, 64 wins, 9-game lead over the Mets. In the Central, the Brewers, 6 games clear of St. Louis. And out west, the LA Dodgers, 6.5 clear of San Diego. Arizona hanging in there, 7.5 back. Scores in the big leagues on this Saturday afternoon, real quickly. Number of games in progress, most under the lights. In the eighth, Toronto leading Texas, now 7-3. A bottom of five, Atlanta leading the New York Mets in Queens, 3-0. Top of five, San Diego leading Baltimore at Camden Yards, 4-0. And going to the bottom of the fifth, it is Tampa Bay leading visiting Cincinnati, 1-0. As you mentioned, a lot of games under the lights tonight, including the Twins and Tigers with a 6-10 Eastern start, 5-10 Central start. Here's how the Twins are going to go behind Joe Ryan in the ball game tonight. It'll be Margolin right leading off, Buxton in center batting second, Lewis will DH and bat third, Jose Miranda back in the lineup, he'll be at third base, and he was on fire before he went down with an injury. Carlos Santana at first, he'll bat fifth, Castro will be at second and bat sixth, batting seventh, catcher Jeffers batting eighth, the shortstop, Brooks Lee, and then Martin will be in left and bat ninth. So Margot, Buxton, Lewis, Miranda, Santana, Castro, Jeffers, Lee, and Martin. And as Do Young Park told us when he joined us earlier this half hour in the writer's corner, that he is on the comeback trail. There's no mention on when he could return to the Twins lineup, but it appears as though progress is being made on the injuring front. So Joe Ryan for the Twins against the Tigers tonight at Comerica. Lineup card just moments away. First pitch at 5:10 tonight. Sneak peek at that weather again. Warm and humid, 90 now. South winds at 18, gusting to 28. Our dew point 68. Tonight clear, low near 74. Tomorrow sunny and 90. Slight chance of thunderstorms during the day. Better chance late Sunday night, a low near 71. Thunderstorms likely on Monday and 83. Twins and Tigers in moments. Enjoy the ball game here on the home of the Twins, CCO. Twins and Tigers coming up at 4:30 with the lineup card in Motown. Twins beat the Tigers 9-3 right now. Let's go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. StepKearneyOutdoors.com. Hot and windy today, and I'd assume those walleyes have headed for deep water.
Yeah, good call, Steve. Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, it's been a tough one this week. It was hot. Water temperatures are creeping up in the upper 70s, and getting a fish here and there, I wouldn't say it's going crazy. You got to work for them, and I'm finding fish, you know, anywhere from 28 to 45 feet. They're definitely deep. The perch are out deep, and for good reason. You know, they're out in that thermocline area where that warm water hits the cold water, which is usually fairly deep at this time of the year. So you have to be really careful with these fish. You know, when you bring up a fish, you know, walleye, for instance, from 35, 40 feet of water, that fish will probably not survive. So it's probably best to take one or two and then move on and, you know, just kind of leave them alone. It's hard to do that sometimes when you go through a pod of fish deep like that. You just you don't want to do any more damage than necessary. So I'm just telling people, take your one or two and then move on, because you can release them, but those fish are not going to make it. But that's where they are right now, and I think they're going to be there through August and into probably the middle part of September. So that's where the action is, you know, fairly deep water, away from the weeds, out in that, you know, thermocline.
Yeah, you know, beyond walleye, though, Steve, you get into this warmth this time of year. Bass can be a lot of fun, and there are a lot of good bass fisheries in this state.
You know, that's a good point, Steve. You know, the bass fishing in Minnesota is excellent, and I don't care if it's in the metro area, northern Minnesota, western Minnesota, and I hear that from a lot of clients I have that come up from Tennessee and Georgia. and they complain about how their fisheries are just hammered day after day, and they come up here and they just can't believe the bass fishing. And, you know, we sort of take it for granted, and, you know, most of us do not keep bass. We catch them and release them. So that's the one thing about Minnesota. We have a very, very good bass fishery, smallmouth and largemouth. And, you know, this is a good time of the year to make that switch because those fish are still somewhat shallow along the weed lines, under docks. You can catch them on top water. There's many ways you can catch them. And, you know, it's a good way to switch, being that the walleyes are kind of slow. You know, move to the bass, and you can have some outstanding days, you know, on largemouth. So we're very blessed to have, you know, some tremendous bass opportunities here in Minnesota.
We have the threat of thunderstorms. That's going to complicate things as well, with fronts kind of moving in and moving out. Could be another tough week, Steve.
Yeah, I did something really dumb yesterday, Steve. You want to hear that?
Why not?
Well, yeah, I've done a lot of dumb things in my many years of fishing. And yesterday, people who, you know, do a lot of fishing and boating will understand this. You have a plug that fits into the back of your boat, you know, for sure. The boat plug, which usually hangs by a piece of wire. Well, I lost that a couple of weeks ago, so I've been using a plug from my live well. So, you know, it's not attached. It's a manual plug. So here I am dropping my boat in yesterday, and I put the plug, I take it out of my front console, and I put it in the hole, and I drop my boat in. Next thing I know, the back end of my boat is starting to take on water, my bilge pump's going on, and my back is sinking, and I'm going, what the heck is going on? So I had to get that boat back on my trailer and winch it on with all that weight of all that water, and got it up on the ramp. I put the plug in my live well hole, not in my drain hole. You know, it can happen because those two holes are right next to each other, and I was in a hurry, and I put it in the wrong hole, and it was so embarrassing. I'm just so glad nobody was watching me, because that's something you don't live down. I hate to admit it, but stuff happens, you know.
Yeah, and that is certainly a big one, and you probably launched a boat 10,000 times in your life.
Yeah, I thought I've done everything wrong, you know, at least once in my life, but this one I've never done. But, you know, now I just, you know, reattached a new plug and put it on the wire so it sticks out of the drain hole so there's no confusion. But, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, but it's amazing how that boat can take on water so fast, you know, just through that drain hole. I mean, I had a couple hundred pounds of water in there in a minute and a half. It was just amazing, but... yeah, I'm glad I got it done, and I'll just add that to my list of stupid pet tricks. How's that?
Yeah. All right, Steve, well, have a good week. We'll do it again next Saturday.
All right, sounds great, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors, each and every Saturday. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday with Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News. He has a great show Sundays between 5 and 6. A lot of great guests, a lot of great information. It is 12 past 4 o'clock. Segue to the Twins and Tigers. Game 2 of the 3-game set coming up from Comerica Park. Twins won 9-3, and we're pleased to be joined by Do Young Park, who covers the club for MLB.com. And Do, good to visit with you. The Twins playing well and got a big win in Game 1 Friday night.
Yeah, they got a big win, and more importantly, they're also getting healthier. That's the important thing as we kind of approach the trade deadline here, is that not only are they beating some of these teams, you know, they took the wheels off of Detroit yesterday and are obviously coming off a really big series win over the Phillies, the best team in baseball at home earlier in the week. But then you got Royce Lewis back yesterday. You got Jose Miranda back today. There's some hope that Carlos Correa might not be too far behind them. That's where they're at right now. They're adding and adding and adding on that side, at least. Obviously, Brock Stewart also back in the bullpen earlier in the week. Things are starting to really come together as they kind of enter a big stretch here, Detroit, and then they head to the Mets, who are kind of a hot team. But then they got two winnable series against the White Sox and the Cubs. And then that matchup with Cleveland in a couple weekends is going to loom pretty large as Cleveland also goes through a pretty tough stretch of schedule themselves. So this feels like it could be a kind of pivotal stretch of games coming up for the Twins. And fortunately for them right now, knock on wood, they're starting to get healthy, and it looks like the lineup, the pitching staff, it's all kind of coming together right now.
Yeah, Derek Falvey, Thad Levine, and company are not going to tip their hand with the deadline looming, but the conventional wisdom is they'd love to add pitching, but the question becomes, at what price? And all the contenders want to add pitching. So they're, every year there is tremendous competition for arms that can step in and contribute immediately.
Yeah, and that's always kind of the tough dynamic as we head into trade deadlines with the new wild card format in particular. Because there's now three wild card teams in each league, the threshold to get into the playoffs is so much lower than there ever was, than it ever had been before, excuse me. And what that leads to is you're really on the market is really kind of a lot smaller in terms of the amount of talent that's available from the teams that are very clearly in selling positions, which in turn drives up the cost for a lot of these talents that a lot more of the teams in turn are also looking for. And to compound on that, there are also teams that we thought might be, you know, moving towards selling, the Texas Rangers among them, for example, who looked like they were going to be in a position to sell maybe like a week or two ago, and then the ground moves out from underneath you really quickly in that sense. One bad week from Seattle, one good week from Texas, and now Texas is in a position to not to potentially buy, but certainly maybe stand pat, and definitely doesn't look like they're trying to sell at this point. So those are kind of a lot of the different moving pieces right now. Obviously, like you mentioned, a lot of teams are looking for pitching. The Twins are among them. Now it's a question of where do they line up on those fits, with a smaller selection of sellers than there ever has been before. And then even among there, you got sellers like, you know, the Colorado Rockies, who have been in selling positions in the past and haven't necessarily sold their players. You got a clear seller in the Chicago White Sox, who might be more hesitant to make a deal in division to the Minnesota Twins. A lot of those different factors coming into play that they've obviously got to navigate along with the normal trying to find your best fits at the trade deadline as they move forward right now.
Yeah, and yeah, you brought up the Chicago White Sox. The record is astonishing. 27-79 in late July.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's just absolutely hard to fathom how bad they are. 27 wins at the end of July. To give you a little perspective, the next worst win total, Oakland with 43. It's just absolutely amazing. But back to the top of the division in Cleveland. Tip of the cap to the Guardians. At the moment, they have 62 wins. That's tops in the American League.
Yeah, they have 62 wins. That's tops in the American League. They've been playing great. That's the thing all year is that it feels like, and I've heard whispers of this, you know, obviously from within the organization too, from the Twins, is that, you know, that Cleveland's been playing on the margins the whole time, that rotation is increasingly depleted. The bullpen is increasingly overworked. It just felt like for a while, it seems that you're kind of waiting for Cleveland to come to earth. And to their credit, they have not come to earth. They've been riding the margins, and they've been riding the margins well. Now, there's the question, obviously, Cleveland hasn't been an aggressor at trade deadlines past as well, at trade deadlines where it would perhaps have behooved them to be a little more aggressive. So that's also an interesting dynamic. I think Kansas City is also looking to add right now as well. The AL Central is a pretty competitive division right now. But Cleveland didn't come out the gate all that well out of the All-Star break. And the Twins are kind of in a position to take advantage of that. The Guardians are playing in Philadelphia right now. Obviously, the Phillies aren't playing great, but they're going through a tougher stretch of schedule perhaps than the Twins again. And that kind of culminates in that four-game matchup in 3 days at Target Field over that weekend, a couple weekends from now in early August, that seems like it's going to loom large on the other side of this trade deadline to kind of determine the overall outcome of what the top of this AL Central is going to look like.
Another club that's hanging in there is the Kansas City Royals. They have been in the mix in this division, and now they're 5.5 back, one game behind the Twins in third place in this division, and Kansas City is much improved, and another good story in this division.
They are hanging tough, and let me tell you, that's a really good baseball team. And Bobby Witt Jr., he's locked down to be their face of the franchise for a really long time. He is a really, really good baseball player. He is absolutely otherworldly on fire right now. I think he's honestly catapulted himself in my mind to be, if not the favorite, certainly up there in the American League MVP race. You should look at those numbers sometime. It's crazy. They're pitching out of their minds. Some of the flyers they took on guys like Seth Lugo in the offseason to kind of add to that rotation have worked up beautifully. And that team was always going to be interesting. They were always going to be on the upswing. A lot of those savvy offseason moves have paid off, and it's really shaping up for a photo finish. And again, Twins and Royals kind of in one of those tight races that would perhaps have been a lot more intriguing, maybe in playoff races of years past where you're looking at a smaller field. But right now they're both kind of, I wouldn't say comfortably, but they're both in wild card spots with kind of Boston breathing on their necks right now. But that also adds an interesting dynamic of there's three AL Central teams in playoff position right now. Quite a turnaround from the Comedy Central described AL Central divisions of seasons past, perhaps. But that's also, it's kind of the competitive ebbs and flows of where the division has come and gone. And it certainly makes for some really interesting and exciting baseball down the stretch within these divisional matchups, for sure.
Yeah, it is tight in the American League Central. A lot of intrigue. The deadline, of course, and a little over 2 months to go in the regular season. Though, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Looking forward to catching up soon.
Yeah, there he is. Doe Young Park covers the club for MLB.com. Does a ton of great work on the beat. Joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline, once again, Carlos Correa not quite ready to return, but you'll have Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, and Jose Miranda, 2, 3, and 4 in the lineup behind Joe Ryan today at Comerica, and we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at the scoreboard and a little bit deeper dive on the standings in MLB on this last Saturday in July in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. All right, Twins and Tigers coming up. Game 2 of the 3-game set from Comerica. Twins had a big 9-3 win. Byron Buxton had a big night as they cruise 9-3 behind Pablo Lopez. Joe Ryan on the mound. Sneak peek at the lineup momentarily. Here's a look at the standings on the final Saturday in July. Baltimore leading New York by 2 in the East. They have 61 wins. Cleveland leading Minnesota by 4.5. The Guardians have 62 wins. Tops in the American League. Houston now a 1-game lead over Seattle. Texas 3.5 back out west. In the East, Philly 64 wins, 9-game lead over the Mets. In the Central, the Brewers 6 games clear of St. Louis. And out west, the LA Dodgers 6.5 clear of San Diego. Arizona hanging in there, 7.5 back. Scores in the big leagues on this Saturday afternoon, real quickly. Number of games in progress, most under the lights. In the eighth, Toronto leading Texas, now 7-3. A bottom of 5, Atlanta leading the New York Mets in Queens, 3-0. Top of 5, San Diego leading Baltimore at Camden Yards, 4-0. And going to the bottom of the fifth, it is Tampa Bay leading visiting Cincinnati, 1-0. As you mentioned, a lot of games under the lights tonight, including the Twins and Tigers with a 6-10 Eastern start, 5-10 Central start. Here's how the Twins are going to go behind Joe Ryan in the ball game tonight. It'll be Margot in right, leading off. Buxton in center, batting second. Lewis will DH and bat third. Jose Miranda back in the lineup. He'll be at third base, and he was on fire before he went down with an injury. Carlos Santana at first. He'll bat fifth. Castro will be at second and bat sixth, batting seventh. Catcher Jeffers batting eighth, the shortstop, Brooks Lee, and then Martin will be in left and bat ninth. So Margot, Buxton, Lewis, Miranda, Santana, Castro, Jeffers, Lee, and Martin. And as Doe Young Park told us when he joined us earlier this half hour in the writer's corner, that he is on the comeback trail. There's no mention on when he could return to the Twins lineup, but it appears as though progress is being made on the injury front. So Joe Ryan for the Twins against the Tigers tonight at Comerica. Lineup card just moments away. First pitch at 5:10 tonight. Sneak peek at that weather again. Warm and humid, 90 now, south winds at 18, gusting to 28, our dew point 68. Tonight, clear, low near 74. Tomorrow, sunny and 90, slight chance of thunderstorms during the day. Better chance late Sunday night, low near 71. Thunderstorms likely on Monday and 83. Twins and Tigers in moments. Enjoy the ball game here on the home of the Twins, CCO.